Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started. So we're talking this morning and probably some next week as well about what it means or why we are Baptist. The beginning of next time, we're also hopeful that we'll have an update, a video update from the Koontzes. So we've asked for that, and Matt said he'd get it to us, so I think we'll have that. But that won't take the whole time. Obviously, he's not going to put together like a 30-minute video for us and then send it from Ecuador. That would be interesting. So I'll make up some of the time. So I'll cut off a little earlier. I think there's plenty to talk about here. But let's pray. We certainly want this not just to be a topical discussion, but that God would help us to understand why we believe these things. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning with expectant hearts, thankful for your grace and your love and your care for us. God, you are the you're the source of our understanding of things. You are the one who extends to us the ability to know spiritual things. God, we read in your word that spiritual things are discerned through the Spirit. And so, God, we ask that you would help us this morning. Help us as we discuss this topic to honor you and to just to think well about who we are in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, please.
The Rose family, they are in China.
They are now. Okay. Yeah. Wow. Cool. Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. Please do be in prayer for the Roses. So why are we Baptist? Or more specifically, right? Why are we Southern Baptist? SBC is the name of the convention, right? The Southern Baptist Convention. Why are we Southern Baptists? So as we start with that question, I want to ask this. Are labels important, right? And do they matter or not matter? Like, why? What do you think? Are labels important in life?
Sometimes.
Okay. How would a label be helpful or not helpful? What do you guys think?
I like labels when I go grocery shopping.
Okay.
I like labels on my boxes. They tell me what's in a box.
I might organize.
Okay.
I like my label maker.
Right. But labels like that society sometimes gives us, whether it's according to, you know, if you're techie or nerdy,
okay.
Social skills labels sometimes, those are kind of aren't so necessarily good.
Okay.
First impressions give you
labels. Okay.
Bad days.
Yeah.
Good days.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a label could be jock, or it could be, you know, techie, nerd, whatever, right? I mean, it could be gamer, it could be all kinds of things, right? We could have all kinds of labels. What are some labels that we want people to give to us as a church? What do you guys think? What are some labels that we want people to give us?
Church.
Church, okay, right, that means something. It's a helpful label. Not just a group of people, some club over there that meets, right, but church.
Welcoming.
Welcoming, yeah. Yeah, that's huge.
Kind.
Yeah.
I was gonna say loving or accepting.
Yeah. Hospitable, right? I mean, that's part of that kind of whole, like, just a warm place that we're cared for. Yeah.
Humble.
Humble. Yeah, the other side of that, proud wouldn't be a great label, would it? Yeah.
Friendly.
Yeah. Bible believing, right? We care about that. What's that? What did you say, Danny?
Helping.
That's good, man. We want to be helpers, don't we? We want people to see that we're helpful. Right, they might say that we're conservative, theologically conservative, right? We believe what the Bible says and we hold to it. We don't just kind of interpret it however we want to interpret it. Right? That label matters. Evangelical, right? We want to tell people about the gospel. That would be a more like churchy label, right? Some other ones might be orthodox, right? We believe what the church has believed, right? We believe in the same things that were the foundation of what the apostles taught in the New Testament, right? In the Old Testament. Christian, right? Even as a label. So labels identify things that you care about, things that we teach, things that maybe help other people know what we stand for or what we stand against, right? Pro-life would be something that we would want people to see as a label for who we are as a church. We care about life. We care about God's created things. But as a culture, labels are kind of a, we don't like labels. We don't want people to label us as something or put us into a category. I don't mean the church. I just mean as people, right? Labels are kind of a not good thing, even though we tend to give labels. They kind of create lines of separation, denominations even, right? That's a common complaint against churches, and I think some of us would understand that complaint, right? Why do there need to be divisions between these groups? But the labels are helpful at times too, right? It's not just a thing that we don't like, it's also a thing that we like at times. And so we've seen lots of churches over the last number of years jump into non-denominational camps, right? They not care about denominations, and so they go away from those things. So we understand that desire to avoid unnecessary separations and why some people might decide to be non-denominational or away from a denomination. But there are reasons why a denomination can be helpful, why that it can be more than just a label, but can be a helpful thing for us. So with that as kind of our preface to the discussion, part of the question is, why are we planting an SBC church, right? We had unlike maybe an established church, we had a decision to make, right? We had a choice to make. We're going to intentionally plant a church that is aligned with or partnered with or connected to the Southern Baptist Convention. Why did we do that? So there are two possible things, and I think both of these play in, so I want to talk about them. There's heritage, and there's conviction. So I didn't grow up Southern Baptist, so I don't have a heritage of Southern Baptist life that would say, like, this is the thing that I do because this is who I am and who I've always been and who my great-granddaddy was and all that stuff, right? I didn't grow up Southern Baptist. So for me personally, planting an SBC church wasn't a heritage thing. Now, our other elders grew up in the SBC, so it doesn't mean that there's not an aspect of heritage in the midst of that, right? Also, we're sent out from an SBC church, and so there is a sense in which we are, by our heritage, right, by our connection and by our parentage, a SBC church. But that's not what led me in particular to say, we need to be an SBC church. I would rather argue that Redeemer is an SBC church because of conviction. The purpose of the SBC has been from its charter, so its very beginning in the 1800s, to elicit, combine, and direct the energies of the churches within the convention toward the propagation or the expansion of the gospel. The denomination's mission is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and to make disciples of all the nations. So we cooperate with Southern Baptists and we identify with the SBC because we care about being faithful to the Great Commission, right? And we identify with their core beliefs, so then we can say we can do this together. So we legitimately believe that we can do more and we can accomplish more when it comes to this mission of the Great Commission as we work with like-minded churches who want to be faithful to that commission, right? So what do I mean when I say that we identify with their core beliefs, right? Because SBC is this large organization. We hold that all of our churches are autonomous, right? We believe our own, have our own statement of faith. What I mean by that is that we affirm the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. I don't have a copy of that with me right now. I can get a copy of it if you're interested. It's also online for free. But it's a fairly good document. It's kind of the base level of if you're going to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, you affirm that you agree with this document. It's a pretty large umbrella theologically as far as the document goes. So there are people who would agree on essential things, but some of the secondary things maybe not be exactly in the same place on some of those things, like what exactly is the end times going to look like, or what exactly does a church's leadership structure look like. Certainly, we'd all agree that we're congregational, but what that looks like and fleshes out on a, you know, how many committees do you have and how many pastors and associate pastors or elders, or, you know, that looks different. And so the SBC, the Baptist Faith and Message, kind of has a larger umbrella. So churches that have agreement on a lot of central scriptural things then can cooperate together to say we need to do what God has commanded us to do, taking the gospel to people. And we're not going to quibble about some of these other things, but we do agree on the major things. So, yeah, congregational would mean that it's not just a CEO or a panel of people who are making the decisions on everything that happens inside of the church, but that the congregation as a whole, the members of the body, are the ones who then are the governing body of the church. So the way that I would maybe explain our goal and how we want to have the leadership work inside of Redeemer is God is the king, right? Jesus is the head of the church, and then the body of the church is underneath Christ. And the elders are members of that body who are specially set aside to lead inside of that and to help direct and teach and guide, because that's just the gifting that they have. But every member inside of that body is our co-leaders inside of that body. Does that make sense as a view of congregationalism? So we have a high view of congregationalism it's not just a pure democracy, right? But we're looking and saying that God is working through each of us individually as believers, and that's why membership matters so much, and that's why conversion matters so much, right? We're trying to make sure that as members, that we don't just have whoever come in as member, but it's membership is the best of our ability. They're believers who are responsible, understand their role. So the SBC would identify with that kind of a mentality. So that would be different than a hierarchical government, like the Pope's in charge and he has other officials. And then you kind of like, if you're just a member of the church, you don't really have much say in anything. Or even like a Presbyterian model, though many Presbyterians on the conservative side are friends, we would say that their polity or their structure is different. They have synods and groups over that actually make decisions for churches rather than the local church determining those things. And so in New Testament, this isn't the whole goal of my discussion this morning, but we believe that the New Testament shows like in 2 Timothy, even in Titus, right? So we taught through Titus. So Paul tells Titus to go and establish elders in each of these communities, but the elders are actually inside of those communities, and that's part of the local church. There are better examples in Matthew 18, where you see the church actually is the final authority, like in a matter of discipline within the body. And so we see the local church is central to that. So that's why we're congregational. So core beliefs, why do we say that we identify with the core beliefs? There are some theological areas where we would give more clarity than what the Baptist Faith and Message gives. So while we could be under the umbrella of the Baptist Faith and Message, we want to be clearer than that in some areas as a local body. So TJ's done a really good job, I think, of talking through and teaching through what we believe in our statement of faith. And so our Redeemer's statement of faith is based on even an older Baptist document called the Abstract of Principles, which is what the original Baptist Faith and Message was based on. So we would, I think, even go further than that and say that we agree with older Baptist confessions and older documents than the Abstract of Principles, which was 1859, but agree with the Philadelphia Confession in 1742 and the Second London Baptist Confession in 1689. So what I'm trying to say is, we're not just Baptist because, or we're not just SBC because we agree with the Baptist faith and message even, but because historically, as we look at the things that the Baptists have taught about what Scripture says, but also how they've worked together to take the gospel through the Great Commission, or in obedience to the Great Commission, we identify with that as a faithful kind of methodology. So, a question that I get sometimes is, so if you're so Baptist, why is it just Redeemer Church and not Redeemer Baptist Church, right? Why is Baptist not in the name of the church? You guys ever heard that question before? No? It's a real Baptist-y kind of question, I guess. So why would you think we don't have Redeemer in the, or we do have Redeemer, we don't have Baptist. Why would you think we don't have Baptist in the name of the church? What do you guys think? Redeemer Baptist Church. It could do it. That's you're just used to Redeemer Church. You just like it because the sassiest person in this room is my wife. Not necessarily, right? I mean, because some churches would be, the church that Travis is at in Las Vegas, it's Providence Reformed Church, right? And so they would want to put Reformed in the name, and we haven't done that either. So right. So maybe on the bad side of labels. So maybe somebody has had problems with Baptists in the past, and they're going to take all the baggage and throw it into the label, and maybe never come at least to hear why, right? So all of these are part of the answer, right? Right. It's not that we're ashamed of being Baptists. It's not that we are not wanting people to know so that we can kind of hoodwink them when they come in the door and they're like, ah, surprise, we're Baptists. Like that's not. That's not the goal. Jamie, I like that. That's right. One of the goals as we're planting Redeemer is to look critically at the things that offend. So it's kind of a weird statement, but our understanding is that the right offense is the offense of the gospel, right? Does that make sense? So the gospel is offensive. The fact that I am a wretched, desperate sinner with no hope in myself, and that it is God who had to do something about that. And that it's not that I have the power to then work my way to God, but that God actually had to die for me. And if I would just look to him and trust in Christ, that I can have salvation. You mean I don't have to do something for it? There's something offensive even in that, right? The fact that I can't just go, you mean I can't just go buy this? Or I can't just go earn this myself? Something offensive in every aspect of it. But the cross is so offensive. And it's good to let that be the offense. And so as we looked at planting Redeemer and looking at the names, right, there are all kinds of people who see Baptists on the door of a church, and they ask all kinds of questions, right? Some of the questions might be this. So another Baptist church in town? Is this a split off of that other church? Right, this is not, and that's not true, right? Are they competing with that other Baptist church? Is that other Baptist church wrong? Which is not what we're saying, right? So there's some intention in not having Baptists, and it's not because we're ashamed of being Baptists or we are concerned about what people think about Baptists in that sense. But I'd rather that people not turn up their nose before they even hear why we exist, right? That they would develop an idea about what we believe before they actually hear the good news of Christ. Right, I understand that some or many will reject the gospel. Right, it's the smell of death to them. Right, people will reject the gospel. Many people reject Christ because of who he is or what he calls us to. But in God's sovereignty, we have to be okay with that. Right, to rest in him doing that. And he might draw many of them later, right? That's true. But I'm not okay with people being offended by things that keep them so far away that they never hear the gospel, right? I'd rather him come sit in the door and get to know us, be loved by us, right? Be helped by us, as Denny said, right? Be cared for by us. And then hear the gospel. And then later, I'll tell you what will happen. People who thought all these bad things about Baptists are like, these guys aren't like those other Baptists. Same thing that happens when they say Christians are hypocrites. And then they come and they get loved by Christians. And they're like, these aren't like those other Christians, right? It's the same kind of thing where we add negative things to the label. And when people get to know us as we love them in Christ, it breaks down those barriers. So I want them to hear the gospel. And so that's a big part of it, right? I love to talk about what we believe. I'd love to talk about the fact that we're Baptists. It's fine. But I'd rather have a chance to have a conversation with them, to share the gospel and care for them first, to break down their notions of what it may mean to be Baptist by loving them, expressing their worth as created by God, right? Because many people think my lifestyle, that Baptist will never hear me and don't even want to have a conversation with us, right? And that's not our goal, right? Validating their pain in a broken and fallen world and applying the hope of the gospel. So that's our goal. Does that make sense to you guys? Is that a fair thing? I hope that frees us in some way to just, when people ask those questions, we don't just feel weird about, oh, well, yeah, we're Baptist, you know, but that we can say other things matter more. So I've had people ask me, what kind of church are you? And I rarely lead with, we're a Southern Baptist church. Because, you know, again, people don't know what that means or they have ideas about what that means. And it's not that I don't get into that conversation, but the name of our, and identity of our church is first and foremost rooted in Christ, right? That should be. Not in a denomination or in a division, so that we can say with joy, even as we explain that our church is in fact an SBC church, but that our church is first and foremost Christ's church, right? Our Redeemer's church. Right? And that's why we name the church Redeemer Church. If we have any name over it, over us, I want it to be Christ's name. I've had other people ask me, why do we need another Baptist church in town, right? Or are you saying the other Baptist church is doing something wrong? Or are you saying that now you are the real Baptist church in town? Like, you know, like, honestly, this is definitely the kind of question I get from other Baptists, right? Other church people who are asking this kind of question. So why another church? Why another SBC church in town? Right? Our neighbors and our coworkers and this city need to hear the gospel. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? Just like everyone else. And I believe that until every person trusts in Christ, we need more gospel people and more gospel churches in every community. Right? So what are we saying about First Baptist Waterloo? Right? This is a question. I think we're saying that they can't do it alone. And Steve, their pastor, and I agree with that. We're in agreement that we need each other as we are co-laboring together for the sake of the gospel in this community. Right? Waterloo needs the gospel, and we do it better together. Right? This is the whole point of why we're SBC, right? We're saying we're going to take the gospel to places, and we do it better as we cooperate with like-minded churches. I think that's true in Waterloo, too. Right? What are we saying about FBC Waterloo? I think we're saying, let's work together and share the gospel and be different lights in different places that can reach different people with the gospel. We're not saying that they're doing it wrong at FBC Waterloo, right? There are people who will never go to this church who will go to First Baptist Waterloo. There are people who won't go to First Baptist Waterloo who might come to Redeemer, right? Because it feels different and it looks different and it functions different. For whatever reason, theological or not theological. I can be known in a place where there are 40 people, 30 people, 20 people. I can't be as known in a place where there's 250 or 300 people. Some people like a bigger church, and so that fits them, and that's okay, right? That's okay. And we can realize that doesn't mean that we're saying that someone's doing something wrong or bad, but that Waterloo and people everywhere need the gospel. So it's connected to the reason the explanation, I guess, in my heart about why we're Baptists. So we aren't closet Baptists. I'm happy to identify. Stop it. With a denomination that's cooperatively seeking to do much for the expansion of the gospel, both in this context, right, as we plant churches, the North American Mission Board, and as missionaries go to the world with the International Mission Board. In a couple of weeks, actually, on Wednesday night, the 14th, we'll have some IMB missionaries from Brazil, the Flowers, and they'll be at a community group. So they'll be talking about what they're doing on mission. This is connected to what we're talking about here. So in short, and then I'll just open it for any questions you guys might have. In short, my wife is laughing at me. Because we believe that Jesus commands us to fulfill the Great Commission, right? Why are we Baptists? Because we believe in the Great Commission, and we believe that we make disciples better, and we take the gospel to places better as we cooperate with like-minded churches who are committed to the same thing. So we need gospel partnerships, and the SBC does that, and it helps us to fulfill the Great Commission. Questions? Thoughts? Yeah, so that's a really good question, and I'm holding that answer until next week.
Okay, I was hoping you'd skip it.
Yeah, no, I...
Because in your original speech to me, it was in there.
So yeah, my original speech did include that, very much so. So next time, I want to look at what does it mean for us as a local church that we are part of the SBC? So what is it, you know, how does that impact us on a week-to-week basis or a yearly basis? Yeah, there are a few things to talk about in the midst of that. So it's a good question. I appreciate my wife's intention in asking that question, but I'm not going to answer it right now. I got to hang out there to like come back next week. Same bat channel. Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I think sometimes instead of using church plant as a terminology, especially with people who aren't churched, I would just say that we're a new church in town. People get the idea of a new church, you know. When you say church plant, though, they're like, oh, that's something special. What's going on there? And so, like... So when do you become a church tree? You know, like, what does that mean, a bush? You know, I don't know what this terminology is, and that's fair. I think sometimes I want to make it sound more glamorous when I say church plant. So it doesn't help other people, I think, sometimes understand what it means. So I would just say we're a new church in town. If they're asking what we believe, then I would... or what kind of church we are. I wouldn't hesitate to say that we're a Baptist church, but usually what I do is I say, you know what, can mean all kinds of things to different people, and sometimes it doesn't help to put labels on things. But we are a Baptist church, it matters to us, but we're not all about the label. Let me tell you about what we are, what we do care about. And actually, I think that the name Redeemer Church can give us an opportunity to share the gospel. Because then we can say, you know, we didn't put Baptist in the name of the church because we wanted to talk more about Christ than we did about the church or the denomination or that kind of stuff. And we can just go into talking about Christ. I've had that conversation lots of times, and I think that that is a really helpful way to transition toward gospel things while still acknowledging that we're Baptists, right? I mean, I'm not having a problem with that. Sometimes that will lead right into that next question of like, so are you guys a split? Or did you guys like come out of that other church, or where are you guys from? And it's okay. I mean, those are good questions. Typically I just try to root that in the fact that we started because we care about this community. We love the community. It's not a, you know, jettison from some other group who we don't like anymore or something. Yeah. You guys had questions about that kind of stuff? Some? Because we don't have Baptists in the name, they're probably Baptists and they're probably already going to a Baptist church. So it's going to be okay. I love them. That's sad that that would be the thing. What's that? Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Are we trying to reach lost people, or are we trying to just like pull people from everywhere else, right? I mean, certainly... Certainly we have needed folks to come and be part of the core so that we have enough mass to actually reach our community, right? That's significant. That matters. But our ultimate goal is that we want to reach lost people inside of our community. And lost people aren't going to be upset that we don't have the name Baptist inside of our church's name, right? They don't care. In fact, they're probably okay with the fact that if I come be part of Redeemer, that I don't have to tell my friends that I'm part of Redeemer Baptist Church, right? That there's something about that that can alienate people. And I think we need to be honest about the reality that that the Southern Baptist Convention has had a history of some things that we shouldn't be proud of, right? There is a strong connection in the early days of the Southern Baptist Convention with slavery, right? And that is shameful. It is wrong. And the convention has turned against that and has made clear statements saying that that was sinful and repenting of it. And so I'm proud to be part of a convention that says what we did was sinful and we repent of that and we turn away from it and reject it, right? It's good. That's a good sign. Like I want to be around Christians who are saying what I did was sin. I'm repenting of that and trusting in Christ, right? That's good. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for just the time to talk together. God, help this be an ongoing conversation in areas where we might need clarity. Help us be a church that trusts in you and not in any denomination and not in any organization. God, but that looks to your leadership and your instruction and your guidance from your word. And God, where if a denomination loses its mind as some denominations do and turn away from you, God, we want to be a people of the book and we want to be a people who are true to what you say and who you've revealed yourself to be. And so God, I want us to be a church that's committed to following you, even if that means forsaking other groups or other affiliations if they turn away from you. And so God, as we talk about denomination, as we clearly say that we're identified with the SBC, God, I want us to trust not in the SBC, but to trust in you. And so whatever may come, we want to be your people. And we're thankful right now for the SBC and for its ability and opportunity to partner together with other like-minded churches to take the gospel to places where, frankly, our little church couldn't be right now. And to support missionaries and other people right now that we wouldn't be able to support in any way other than the agency of the SBC. And so, God, we give you thanks for that, and we pray that your name would be made great through Redeemer and through the Southern Baptist Convention. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.